Are we faithful and sensible slaves of Jesus Christ? When he comes or you die, what will he find you doing? You see, coming to Christ is not a ticket from hell to heaven. It's a changed relationship with the living God.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, the news is filled with stories of believers around the world who are being martyred for their faith. And here in the U.S., Christians are being targeted by different groups, and the social and political climate is changing rapidly. And so for many, it's a fearful time to be a Christian.
You know, Dave, the world is changing right before our eyes, and yet we serve a God who never changes. So the question is, how do we stay focused on this everlasting, loving, wonderful God who died for our sins in the midst of such persecution and pain? You know, we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture today that gives us insight in how to do that. Our text is Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 51.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Parables in chapter 25 of the talents. We'll see that. A real simple illustration. Those who serve Christ and those who appear to be serving him but are actually serving themselves, as we'll see. Before we continue, I want to point out some truth that Scripture reveals about true believers and what God has called us to do when we are saved. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. If you've read through Exodus lately, you'll know that God, through Moses, says, "Let my people go that they may," what? "Serve me." Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is the law being revealed again. Deuteronomy second Namas law. It is being reiterated to the second generation that would go into the land. The first generation had died out because of unbelief. And God, through Moses, says here, Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you?" What does God require from you? "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And then he talks about keeping his word. What is he required? To serve the Lord with all your heart and soul. We're going to see the evidence of one who is really saved is someone who is serving Christ. And you are fooling yourself if you're not serving Christ based on what his word declares. Deuteronomy 10 verse 20. "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him and swear by his name." You shall serve him. An evidence of a changed heart is serving Christ. You may say, "I'm a Christian. I've been following Christ all my life." You never serve him at all. You serve yourself. An evidence of a changed life is serving Christ. Joshua chapter 24. God gives, through Joshua, the Israelites an opportunity to serve who they want to serve. Let's make it plain and clear. Make the choice. Make the choice who you want to serve. Joshua 24, verse 15. Now, I'm not talking about external serving like the hypocrites who are in hell, but serving from the heart with a whole heart in the context of a real relationship with the living God. Joshua 24, verse 14. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away all the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." These days, our idols are much more complex, aren't they? They're not pieces of wood. They're all the things we elevate in our lives above Christ. He says, "And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord," if you don't want to do it, "choose yourselves today whom you will serve." God is God. We are his servants. And it's a blessed thing to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. But if you're not serving him, something is terribly wrong in your life. And he says here in the end of verse 15, Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the New Testament, we see it also in Matthew 4, verse 10, as the Lord Jesus is reproving Satan during the temptation with the word. He says in Matthew 4, verse 10, he says, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, the Thessalonians knew that when they were saved to serve Christ. That's why all these false teaching church and all this junk, they give you a gospel that is for your flesh and you're not serving anybody but yourself. They don't tell you the cost. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, for they themselves report what kind of reception we had with you. This is Paul and Lysias with the Thessalonians. And how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. And lastly, turn with me to Malachi 3:18. When you don't expect it, the Lord's going to come or you're going to die. What's he going to find you doing when that happens? Malachi 3:18. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. You can spot it. Now, certainly there are fakers who serve externally, and I'm not talking about that. It's with a whole heart, a genuine relationship with the living God. You are either serving yourself when you make your decisions. What am I going to do this week? What days do I go to church? What do I do? Who am I going to be around? You're either serving yourself or you're submitting to Christ and serving him. And non-believers continually habitually serve themselves, and true believers continually habitually serve the living God. You see, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you've been redeemed to serve Christ, not yourself. So Jesus is going to make the point that what you do reveals where you stand with him. It's not doing to get a standing. It's what you do evidencing where you really are with him. Notice specifically, we're going to see for these tribulation disciples, and I believe for us, how you relate in the context of your life with your heart towards the Lord and what you do shows us where you are at with him. Verse 45 again back in Matthew 24. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave? Who then? He's just given illustrations of those who went off to judgment. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master will put in charge of his household to give them their food at proper time? It's an illustration. Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. Notice he thinks he's got a relationship there. My master's not coming for a long time. And shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him at an hour which he does not know. Do you see the flow through this passage? And shall cut him to pieces. That doesn't sound very good. And assign him a place with the hypocrites. That doesn't sound any good based on what Jesus has said about hypocrites in Matthew 23. Weeping shall be there and gnashing, the gnashing of teeth. He's saying the day and hour will not be known, although it is imminent. And one must be ready, prepared, must be faithful, having their sins forgiven, otherwise they'll be swept away into judgment. We've seen that. And he poses the question, who is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master will put in charge of his household to give their food at the proper time? So he asks the rhetorical question that we should be asking ourselves. Are we faithful and sensible slaves of Jesus Christ? When he comes or you die, what will he find you? What will he find us doing? You see, coming to Christ is not a ticket from hell to heaven. It's a changed relationship with the living God. And true believers are called to serve the living God, to be faithful. We're called to be faithful in serving him. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, the solution to God's conviction from the word is not getting angry. The solution is confession and then allowing him to correct you and then turning the right way, praising him for him revealing our sinfulness, right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in what? Serving one another as good stewards. It's a stewardship of the manifold grace of God. It's by His grace we serve. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. That's what every church should be doing. Speaking God's word, right? God demands it here, right? Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength with God's supply. We abide in Christ, not trusting ourselves, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's turn there for a second. Paul says, hey, this is how you ought to regard us. This is how you ought to think about us. 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man regard us in this manner. Think of us this way. As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The context, the mysteries are those things that God has revealed. Chapter 2, it's His word. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one must be found trustworthy or faithful. Who is the faithful and sensible slave in whom his master finds so doing when he comes? So Jesus poses the question. He expects these tribulation saints during the worst time ever to be about His business. It's very interesting because I always hear all the time, oh, there's this issue going in my life, that issue there. You don't know what's going on. I really don't have the time to do this because all this stuff's going on. These tribulation saints have the worst time ever going on. And Jesus expects them that by nature of a changed relationship that they are about His business. No excuses. I can't serve you right now. The great tribulation is going on. Right? I always hear things. The job, the taking care of this person, cancer crisis here, my physical condition, whatever it might be. Jesus expects us to serve Him. You look at all the excuses in Scripture of people who are putting Jesus off. Well, I've got to go bury my father. I've got to do this. You look in the book of Haggai, they were about their own business, building their house and not about building the Lord's house, being about His business. And He says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. So who is the faithful and sensible slave? Look at what He says in verse 46. Blessed is the slave in whom his master finds so doing. So doing. There's a contrast between the blessed and the evil slave. It's a contrast. There's an evil slave and a blessed slave. There's one who is aware of the master. The other one is aware, but yet is desiring to do his own thing, not thinking that he is accountable for his actions. The first slave is blessed. And as we saw in Matthew chapter 5, those Beatitudes, the term blessed speaks of one who has a relationship with the living God. It is the manifestation. If you know Christ, you are blessed. And it will manifest in the behavior that is along with that. We see blessed is the slave in whom his master finds so doing. Well, so doing what? So doing what? Playing instruments? What is he saying here? Serving Him. That's what it is. Serving the master. That's the context. Blessed is he in whom the master finds him so doing. He's serving him. It's that simple. What do slaves do? They serve their master. That's what they do. Notice he says, truly I say to you. He affirms the truthfulness and reality that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. And we know that if you have been redeemed from your sins, you will have a genuine desire, if sin has not come in your life, to serve the living God. It is an innate desire from a changed relationship. And we know from Scripture that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. As Paul would say, how will He not give us all things? Those faithful slaves God will give us, in this sense, all things in a stewardship. We'll see. We don't understand it completely. But he says he will put him in charge of all his possessions in this illustration. But unfortunately, in the contrast, we see there's one who isn't blessed. Verse 48. But if that evil slave says, notice where he says it, in his heart. This is a heart issue. My master is not coming for a long time. I'm not accountable. I'm not accountable. I'm not worried about it. Then he goes off to sin, and here's a bad slave. He says he goes to beat fellow slaves, eat and drink with drunkards. And the illustration of Christ coming, by the way, in this analogy, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour in which he does not know. And here's where this analogy morphs into reality, because this doesn't happen with masters and slaves. and shall cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and gnashing of teeth. Instead of serving the master, the slave serves himself. Wickedness in his heart, an evil slave. And we see Jesus says very clearly what will happen when he comes. The point here is that the wicked are unaware of Christ coming in judgment. They continue in their sin. And there are those who are religiously wicked. They will be assigned a place with the hypocrites. They're hypocrites. Now, this is directly related to tribulation saints waiting the imminent coming of Jesus Christ. Notice there are consequences. He shares there will be a place of continual weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound too good. God is saying this, and this describes hell. A place of torment where everyone who has not had their sins forgiven will go. That's what God declares. This is where God will place those in eternal punishment who have rejected the provision of Christ, as evidenced by the fact they don't serve Christ, they serve themselves. Jesus uses this terminology here in other places of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Back in chapter 8, we saw concerning unbelieving Jews who rejected him. Chapter 8, verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom, those are Jews who did not believe, shall be cast into outer darkness in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the parable of the tares and the dragnet in chapter 13, Jesus shares this again. Chapter 13, verse 41. Let's turn to chapter 13, verse 41, Matthew. And we'll see, if you don't have an innate desire because you've been saved to serve Christ, something's terribly wrong and you are in great danger. Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. That's just sin. And will cast them where? Into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And a little farther down, Matthew 13, verse 49. This is after the parable of the dragnet, dragging up all the fish and splitting up the fish, where God at the end of the age brings everybody together and he separates. So it will be at the end of the age, Matthew 13, verse 49, the angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous. Again, one at the wheel, one is taken, one is left, right? Take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And turn to one last passage, Luke chapter 12, verse 4. God is serious about sin, folks. Don't play around. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through a man whom he has appointed by having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. He's so serious about sin, he allowed his own son to die for our sins. And if you reject that, you deserve the judgment that God will place upon you. Luke chapter 12, and you should fear. Luke chapter 12, verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Don't be afraid of someone who could kill you. After that, and this is the context of persecution, they have no more that they can do. That's it. But I warn you, Jesus is saying, whom to fear? Fear one whom after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. It's emphatic. You ought to fear God. He has authority to cast you into hell. And back in our passage, the slave that is about his own business and not the master's evidences that he is a wicked slave, not a blessed slave, and he is cast into hell when the master comes. It's a vivid picture of those who might even name his name during the tribulation but are not serving him, that are cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth into the fiery pit. Are you the blessed slave or the evil slave? Are you so doing? What are you doing? What does your life consist of? So then how can one be delivered and avoid spiritual laziness and the eternal consequences? Today we've seen Jesus share with his tribulation disciples, based on the reality of his coming, that no one will know. One must be spiritually prepared. One must be ready for his coming, i.e. one must have their sins forgiven because he will judge when he comes. And for us, You could die today and that day would be there. You would stand before him and everything that I've said here would come true to you. You will understand at that point, like those in the day of Noah, they understood when they were being swept away. Don't make the same mistake of the victims of the flood judgment who ignored the warnings to repent. And like that, when they weren't expecting, God's judgment came upon them. Secondly, because we do not know the day or hour, we must be ready and prepared by being about his business. So doing. And lastly, we need to recognize our lives will evidence our relationship with or without Christ. Are you a wicked or blessed slave? Where do you stand today? Where do we stand today? We're not in the tribulation. This is for the tribulation, but yet the principles apply. As I've shared throughout, you could die today and stand before the Lord. Where are you today? Are you a faithful slave about his business, or are you a wicked slave about your own business? Some of you name the name of Christ, but practically your life has nothing to do with Christ. You got a little bit on your calendar here and there, but you don't serve Christ. You serve yourselves. You need to examine yourself. God is gracious to warn you. I'll examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. God, through Malachi, stated clearly, so you will distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and does not serve God. God's a gracious God, and if you come to Christ, he'll change your heart. You don't want to serve him because you're not saved or you're in sin, and he'll change your heart. He'll give you a desire. There's nothing greater than serving Christ. It's agonizing. It takes up your energy. It takes your entire life. But there is great reward. You will lose everything if you hold on to your own life. This is an encouragement for believers who are serving. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's always. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You say, I don't know how to serve. I don't know what to do. I want to help you. God's word clarifies it. You say, I want to serve Christ, but I'm not sure. Start by confessing sin and obeying the word that you know. And start by being around the body of Christ. If you're part of this body, if you name the name of Christ, you should want to be here every time we're together. You should want to be serving one another. There should be a change in your heart, not because you're forced, because you want to. And it's our desire to teach you the Word of God that you would know how to serve Him. But first of all, you need to want to serve Him. It's an evidence of a changed life.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you said today that an evidence of a changed life is serving your brothers and sisters in Christ. But we both know people who are just predisposed to being helpful and kind to others. So how do we know if that action is motivated by a changed life?
You see, Dave, the reality is if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to love because he first loved us. And we're going to have a love for Christ that is not from us. And we're going to have a love for our brothers and sisters that is truly not from our old nature. And so, yes, in our old nature, we could serve people and do things that were good, but ultimately underneath, the motivation was for our benefit. When you become a Christian, the Lord changes our heart and our disposition towards believers in Christ. And so it's going to be an evidence. And so much so, it's an evidence whether we truly know the Lord or not. So I'd encourage those serving in the body of Christ, which, by the way, we should, why do you do what you do? Is it for your own self-internal elevation, or is it because the Lord has changed your heart and given you a genuine love for his people?
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.